So a year after college, I joined AmeriCorps, and I expected to be placed at a public elementary school in Baltimore. And I chose Baltimore for two reasons: urban education, and my boyfriend at the time was living here. But my supervisor suggested another placement that was at a tuition-free Catholic school, a middle school, for low-income children in Baltimore City. Now, a lot of people would be nervous about going to a middle school, but I was nervous about going to a Catholic school. My religious education was very scant. Congregational Christian mom, Eastern Orthodox dad, think my big fat Greek wedding. Their religious detente ended very abruptly when I was 10, and that's pretty much when my religious education stopped. But I went to the interview, and I found myself asking the same question: do I have to be Catholic to do this? And I didn't know much about Catholicism either. I knew they'd made the cross backwards, because I was Eastern Orthodox. And I knew from childhood that they had to go to CCD classes on weeknights, which meant I got to play one extra night out than my friends did. I think more importantly, I worried that Catholicism was going to be really conservative, and I was very liberal, and I wasn't sure that was going to be a good fit. But I decided to take the position. And the first February I was there, I came in and spoke with Sister Mary, our principal, and I noticed that she seemed to have a mark on her forehead. And it looked like maybe a pencil lead had grazed between her eyebrows. And as we were speaking, I was debating, should I say something? And I decided ultimately that if our positions were reversed, I would want to know. And so I said, "Mary, you know, you have something on your forehead." And she smiled and she said, "Nicole, it's ashes, it's Ash Wednesday." But I was in good company as a non-Catholic. 85% of our students came from different backgrounds. The school was amazing, 12 kids in a class, homework help, tutoring, extended day programs. Education was really working for struggling students. But the full-time staff consisted of 13 people, 8 nuns, 2 brothers, and 3 lay people. So very quickly, I became an expert on all things having to do with religious life. So, if you want to know the difference between a school sister of Notre Dame and a sister of Notre Dame, or you want to know the difference between a vow of poverty and a vow to serve the poor, if you'd like to know the difference between the different strands of the Sisters of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, fondly known as the no-nos, the so-sos, and the go-gos, or my favorite bit of nun trivia, that none other than Christian Dior designed the first post-Vatican II habit for the Daughters of Charity, the nuns that Gloria described earlier tonight. There's just something about being an outsider. It's a combination of like curiosity and desperation because you're just trying to figure out what's going on. And Sister Mary made her vows, and we celebrated them in a community ceremony at the school. So the sixth grade boy shared with us that she'd taken a vow of obedience, a vow of chastity, a vow to serve the poor, and a vow of puberty. Well, you can guess what the sixth grade boys were studying beforehand. She took a vow of poverty, if you were wondering. But, you know, nun humor doesn't really get better than that. And if you're wondering, they do fudge on some of those vows. And I'm not going to talk about that one. But I came into school one day devastated that my turntable was broken beyond repair. And I told Sister Mary this, and she kind of pulled me into her office and whispered, "I was supposed to have given away all my stuff, but I couldn't part with my turntable and my records. I want you to have them." Because, you know, nuns are supposed, that's the poverty thing. So included in those records were 3 early Bruce Springsteen albums that began my love of the boss. And so 9 years later, I invited Sister Mary to our first Springsteen concert. And we were planning it over email. And then she sent me a letter and she said, "Nicole, I've got a meeting that night, but I'll cut out early. Bruce calls." Wait for it. There is no higher calling. What I didn't expect was that these nuns turned out to be some of the most politically radical people that I knew. I went to a small liberal arts college in the Midwest that fashioned itself very progressive and radical, and our kind of adolescent edginess really couldn't hold a candle to the way these women lived their lives. And it was every aspect of their lives. As Mary said to me at one point, how many of your friends live in a hooker-free zone on Wilkins Avenue? But what I didn't, one thing I did not expect was to be sitting across the table from Sister Anne during lunch one day, halfway through my first year, and have her proclaim that I had the spirit of a daughter of charity. And I had no idea how to respond. And so I said the first thing that came to my mind, I'm not Catholic. And she responded, oh, no problem, no problem. We accept converts. And so as the year went on, it got more awkward because she told me that she had lit two candles for me. One was that I would stay at the school, and the second was that I would become a daughter of charity. And so the joke between my boyfriend and I was that she lit the candles and he blew them out. But it got weirder because in a four-month period of time, I was recruited by not one, not two, but three different religious orders. And the last time was the worst. I got reconnected with my supervisor from AmeriCorps several years later. And I told her that my boyfriend and I had broken off our engagement. And her immediate response was, well, maybe this is your time to consider religious life. And this time I was angry. I was really angry. And I couldn't figure out why it was different. And then I realized it. I was single. This was the first time it had happened when I was single. And at this point, in this short period of time, I'd been approached by more nuns than men. And it seemed to say something about my viability as a single person. And my friends thought that this was hilarious. And they were like, come on, Nicole, didn't you see this coming? You've got short hair, you don't wear a lot of makeup, and you wear a lot of loose-fitting earth tone colors. Like, you're halfway there. But interestingly, there's a religious order that isn't allowed to speak about recruitment. Their philosophy is that their acts should inspire people to seek them out. And in a way, that's exactly how my conversion happened. I wasn't converted to become a nun, but I was converted to a life of service. What was intended to be a year assignment turned into 11 years of service. And that's completely has to do with those nuns, their models as educators, their dedication to our students and their families, and their friendship. So they got me.